Hey, I want to tell you a little bit about the church. If you're here for the first time or maybe you're new to the church, I'm going to be hanging out after the service. I'm not going to Valley View today, so I can do that. So I'll be here as long as you want to stay, I think, and ask questions about anything in regards to the ministry. We just did this a couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, I think it was, but we'll talk in more depth. For example, the philosophy of the church. Let me just run down real quick about it, and then you can ask more later. We are a multi-generational church. What does that mean? That means that there are children, babies, there are teens, there are adults, there are senior adults. And why would a church not have all of that variance? Because a family has the same thing. However, being multi-generational means we have no biases against young people, and we ask young people to not have biases against old people. You know, there's a lot of times I started seeing this, you know, not when my hair turned gray, because my hair's been gray since I was 30, but as I got a little older, I'd go into a professional place like my doctor's office and stuff, and the nurses would call me honey. They'd say, honey, are you okay? Honey, are you safe at home? I'm like, why are you asking me these questions? And you didn't ask me that when I was in my 20s or my 30s. There's a certain bias. I understand their approach, and they're trying to, you know, to deal with my welfare and all that stuff. But a lot of times, younger generation have biases against older people, like we're out of touch and you laugh at us because we still have flip phones. You know, flip phones, I met with this pastor the other day and he said, give me your number. And I said, well, where's your phone? And he said, here. And he pulled it out and he flipped it open. And I'm trying to find where the contacts were on it. I haven't seen a phone like that in 20 years. I mean, it's been a long time. And I had to be careful that I didn't judge him for not having a smartphone. And I didn't want to do that. And so at Church on the North Coast, we don't want to create biases in any regard. That being said, we're a multicultural church. And that is very, very important to Church on the North Coast. That means that people of all races should come together under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, when we do that, just like with age, you can't have biases with race. And sometimes they're called implicit bias. What is that? You don't even know you have one. And you may say something that would be offensive to another person who's not of your particular ethnicity or race or background. And here's the thing. If that happens, if you're an older person and a young person kind of dogs you out for being out of touch, then you just have to say, excuse me, help me to be more in touch. Or let's have a conversation about what you just said. Because what you just said kind of hurt my feelings. Instead of walking away and going, I can't believe it. They hate old people at that church, you know. Or vice versa. They hate young people at that church. Or they don't like white people. Or they don't like black people. Or they don't want Asians here at the church. It's better to have a conversation. Courageous conversation. To say, you may not have known what you said, but when you said that, that was offensive, deeply offensive. And they have to understand it's an educational process. Now, it's a whole lot easier if you're like in the 20-something and you go to a 20-something church. All 20-somethings, they're all doing the same thing. They all look alike, dress alike, act alike. And it's cool. It's easy. The pastor's up there. He does the same thing, drink coffee while he preaches. It's cool. I like that. Or you can go to an old church where everybody is gray and they all do the same thing, sing the same thing, like the same thing, dress the same way. You know what I mean? Or you can go to an all-white church or an all-black church. And it is easier to do that. But when you come together, multi-generational, multicultural, under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, now Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. Over your attitudes, right? He's got to be the Lord of your life because now we're not conforming. We're different. And it's good to be different. So I love the expression of it all. That's kind of the philosophy of Church on the North Coast. You can check it out more at cnclove.org. We have a whole explanation of all that. But I'll be hanging around and hopefully you'll introduce yourself to me. Let me get to know you a little bit more. And you can get to know me as well. So I oversee all four of the locations. We have one in Lorain. That's happening right now. They're preaching at 10 o'clock. Then we have one in Avon. It's a new expression. meets at the Cambria Hotel. They meet at noon. And then Valley View, they meet at noon. And then Wycliffe, we meet here at 10. So I oversee all four. I bop around from one to the other. And so I just wanted to say good morning. Thank you for being a part of the church. Invite your friends. Get people here. It's all about salvation and the supernatural touch of God. Don't we all need the supernatural touch of God? And that's why you give to the church. You give because you want to create an expression that's relevant to a generation. We don't want to be cut from the same mold. I don't want to go to an all-white church. If I had to, I would quit. If I had to go to an all-old school people type church, I wouldn't go. I would stay home and watch Joel on TV. That's what I would do. I mean, you know, think about it. It is a beautiful expression to be able to interact with other people that are not like you. Stretch yourself. And let's create a community of faith, not a community of conformity. It's not about community of conformity. It's about a community of faith, right? Faith is the common denominator. How many have faith in Jesus Christ today as your Savior? Woo! We're in the right place. That's good. Old hands went up, young hands went up, black hands went up, white hands went up. It's awesome, isn't it? So now, take every one of them hands, write your check, make it to CNC. Or you can use push pay at my CNC. You could do that over line, whatever you want to do. But let's support the ministry. That's how it happens. It happens from free will offerings. That's the only way we're supported. Mr. Trump, like Mr. Obama, haven't written us a check yet. It doesn't come from the government. It certainly won't come from the city of Wycliffe or Cleveland or anywhere else. It comes from God's people who believe in the vision and the mission of the local church. Amen. Thank you for bringing your tithe and your offering. Let's sow into the ministry. Let's make it strong. Let's express a faith community here, all right? I like to hold my offering up before the Lord. Let's just do that. Father, I thank you for the giving that you have afforded me. I'm able to release and sow. And I know, like a farmer, that when I put precious seed in the ground, it won't come back as just two seeds. It'll come back multiplied. It'll come back pressed down, shaken together. It'll come back running over. So I pray, God, for a running over result for every person giving this morning. Bless this house. Bless this region. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and receive the offering. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Now, I have a distinct word of encouragement from the Lord today. And it's not easy when you're going through difficulty, is it? You know, it's nice to get into a church service when everything is cool and you can shout hallelujah. But when everything comes down on you, it's a little hard to muster up a hallelujah. And I know that because I've gone through the same experiences. When disappointments come or people hurt you or, you know, there's just challenges. You always look and you look around and you think, okay, I got to logic this thing out. But that's not necessarily the answer. Or you listen to someone else's opinion and they're so full of doubt, they just steal your faith away. And you're like, oh, God, help me. What do you do when it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face? Where do you go? Do you look for revelation from God's word? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you know that even though you're in a storm, that it's eventually going to pass? Yesterday we had beautiful blue skies. I woke up this morning and it was cloudy. I'm like, what's up with that? But I do know this, that it's going to get clear and blue again, because that's how storms work. I've watched them on the Weather Channel. They come from the west, and they go to the east, and then they go out into the ocean. You know what's interesting? They don't even start talking about them until they get on the mainland over in the west coast. And after they go through the Ohio Valley, and they go off of the east coast, they don't say, well, do you remember that storm that dumped 2 inches of rain on us 2 weeks ago? It's out in the middle of the Atlantic, and it's heading toward the United Kingdom. Nobody does that on Channel 3, 5, or 8, or any place else, because the storm is over. And your current situation is not permanent. And you need to be encouraged today that no matter how dark it is around you, that there is an afterward that you can look forward to. Something's coming to you that is going to literally change your life. Would you say that with me? Something is coming to me that's going to change my life. Okay, I want to do it again, but I want you to really grab hold of that and believe it with me. Okay, let's say it again. Something is coming to me that is going to change my life. I really believe that. I really do. John chapter 13 and 7, Jesus did some strange things with the disciples, and everything he did, he was trying to teach them. Did you know that everything God does with us, he'll turn to a teaching moment? Yeah, God always turns stuff into a teaching moment. What the devil meant for evil, God said, oh, I can teach him something good from that. This past week was challenging for Tina and me. We had a lot of, you know, negative thoughts and negative situations come. And Friday, we took our grandchildren to Cedar Point. Woohoo! We bought season passes. We're going every Friday, all summer long. Pray for us. Anyway, we took six of our grandchildren and one of our grandchild's friends to Cedar Point. Now, that wasn't bad because they're all teens or preteens, four of them, but two of them, one's two and one's three. To have a two-year-old and a three-year-old all day long at Cedar Point, I challenge any of you to do it. Ben is so strong-willed and self-willed. We have a backpack on him with a monkey, and it's got a long tail. It's actually not a backpack. It's a leash, and we're holding on to Ben because he's going everywhere. Did you know he got away from us twice, even with a leash? We looked around, and I said, where's Ben? She goes, he's right there. I said, no, he's not. 200 yards away, he was running. So Tina's running after him. It's hilarious. She's running after him, and the closer she got to Ben, the faster those little legs would go. And he'd look back, and he'd laugh. This is fun. And Tina's like, Ben! You know, sometimes when we look at situations in our life, we think, God, I can't do this. You know, about 3 hours into it, Louis, which is 3 years old, he weighs, I don't know, 50 pounds. He's like, Papa, I'm tired. I said, well, get in the wagon. I don't want to get in the wagon. I want you to carry me. I said, I can't carry you. He said, up on your shoulders. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. So I said, turn around. I'm like, one, two, three. I got him up there, and he's patting me on the head. He's having a fun time, and I'm walking around. I have a little Fitbit. I did 9.67 miles at Cedar Point, and about half of those with him on my shoulders. The next morning, I woke up, and I'm like, It's interesting, isn't it, when we go through things and all this negativity and all the challenges. And Emma called Tina yesterday to say hi. Thanks for taking us to Cedar Point. We had a great time. Louis in the background. He's 3 years old. And he yells, Nana, do you remember Cedar Point? And she said, yeah, I remember. Wasn't it fun? When he said that and she told me the story, I'm like, yeah, I remember it. My shoulders hurt. It reminds me right now. But to him, he wanted to remind us to remember the good things that he experienced on Friday. And Jesus spoke to me this morning and he said, do you remember when we hung out together at Cedar Point? In other words, do you remember the good times? Do you remember my faithfulness? Didn't we have a great time that moment when we just experienced each other in fullness? He just wants us to be reminded that he's a good God. Amen? Why don't you lift your hand and just say, thank you, Jesus, that he is a good God all the time. And no matter where you are in life, God is going to bring you through. And I want you to know that the storm you're in is not going to last forever. Why? Because something is coming that will change your future. Amen? Here's what Jesus said in John 13. It was a teaching moment. He was washing their feet. Peter's like freaking out. He's like, no way you're going to wash my feet. He said, look, if I don't wash your feet and all of you, you can have no part of me. Peter's like, what did he just say? He was trying to wrap his mind around the teachings of Jesus. But then Jesus said this, what I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter. Man, did the Holy Spirit blow that up in my heart. He said, you know what, Caton? What I do now you don't even know, but you're going to know in the hereafter. You're going to know later. You're going to know in the afterward. And I'm like, God, why do you do that? Why do you do things like in the moment and I don't even know what's going on, but you assure me that later I'm going to know what that was? It's just the way God works. Because where you are and you don't know takes faith to get to the afterward so that you do know what you didn't know. That's how God works. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes that's how God works. Come on. This is an interactive church. It's all right to talk to one another if you're talking about the sermon. The present dark and obscure moment that you're in, your future will make plain and clear. You just have to hold on to get to the future. Because the afterward, the future, is going to define and interpret where you are now, and you have no idea. That's the goodness of God. It's in the afterword. I like that saying that no matter what you're going through, know that you're going through. And you're not going to stay there permanently. You're going to go through it. My grandson, Dominic, broke his nose last summer. He was water skiing, and he and his buddy collided and busted his nose. So his nose was like, over to the side. And I said, you're going to get that fixed? He goes, nah, kind of looks cool, you know. I'm like, I feel like I'm Rocky or something, you know. I guess Emily wasn't going to have it. So he had surgery this past week, and they had to break his nose. And they say the break to fix it is always worse than the break that caused the pain. There's a truth in that. I don't know what's caused the pain in your life, but know this, sometimes the fix is going to hurt more. And there is a video that's out on Facebook of Dominic after he got out of surgery. And he's, of course, high as a kite. And it's about a minute long. If you can get it, watch it. It's a hilarious video. Last time I looked, 4,000 or 5,000 people had already watched it. And you'll laugh the whole time. He just is talking in a delirious mode. And Emily is laughing while she's taping. The next day, he's moaning and groaning. He's got a cast on his nose. They packed all of his sinuses inside. He's bleeding. He's got, you know, bandages everywhere. And I kept telling him, I said, Dominic, from my experience with my shoulder and this rotator cuff, every day will be a better day. He's like, yeah, thanks, thank you. It's hard to believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today. When today is so bad. I mean, it's just so full of pain. And yet, I can encourage people who are saying, hey, I think I'm going to have rotator cuff surgery. And I'm going to say, look, it's going to be the toughest thing you've ever gone through, but watch me. I have full range of motion, and I have no pain. Don't you wish you had that? Yeah, but you have to have the surgery. You have to go through to get through. Some of us are sitting here in pain. Some of us are sitting here because we're going through. But there's full range of motion on the other side. And I saw Dominic yesterday. He was here at the picnic. If you looked at him, you didn't even know he had surgery. He was telling me about the experience. They took the cast off and they pulled. They were pulling all of the things out that were up into the sinus cavity to absorb all the blood and all those things. And he said they yanked on it and I felt like my brains were being pulled out. He said it was the craziest feeling. He said they kept pulling and pulling. I was like, my goodness, that thing is long. But he said as soon as they took the cast off, as soon as they pulled that packing out, he said, I could breathe. I could breathe again. Isn't that amazing that when we lose our breath, we think we'll never get it back again. And when we do, how wonderful it is. How beautiful it is to go, oh. Some of us feel like we got that solar plexus, you know, bam, took our breath away. I got sucker punched. Man, I can't believe, God, you let this happen. I'll never be able to catch my breath. Let me tell you something. Your future is going to interpret your present unknown. And you're going to know why you're where you are today. And you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. So here's my feeling. We ought to say, thank you, Jesus, now, before we have it interpreted, because by faith and not by sight, we walk with God, right? So say this with me. Something is coming that will change my future. See, you've got to believe that, even in the hard times, the difficult times, the moments when you can't see clearly anything that's happening. Here's what 1 Corinthians 13:12 says. For now, we see through a glass darkly. But then. So there's a for now and a but then. And I have to remind myself, I'm in the for now, but there's a but then coming. And the but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall even know as I also am known. Our now is always cloudy, it's always obscure, but the then is pregnant with promise. You see, pinpoint clarity, pinpoint revelation is where? In the promise. So if I lean into the promise, then where I'm at now and the obscurity is going to be defined, because promise is full of revelation. I trust in the Word of God. I'm gonna believe the Word of God. Even though I can't see, can't feel, I can't see a way out, I don't know what's going on, I know this. Promise is pregnant with revelation to interpret where I am. And I know that my God is good, and He's going to bless me. He's going to bring me through to the other side, right? We have to stand in that truth. Here's the New Living Translation of the same verse. Now we see things imperfect, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we shall see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Just as God knows me completely now. I feel like my life is in pieces. I feel like I'm shattered, but God knows me completely. So really, I'm not shattered. I'm not in pieces because God knows me completely. Matter of fact, the Bible says I am complete in Him. And if I'm complete in Him, no matter what happens that tries to shatter me, you can't break me down because I'm already complete in Him. And this momentary fall, this momentary breakdown is only going to give testimony to the goodnesses of God's promises that are pregnant with revelation about who I am in God. Remember Cedar Point, Papa? He's only remembering the good. He's not remembering my shoulders. They're still a little sore this morning. It's Sunday. Jeez. You see, the present darkness has to yield to tomorrow's dawning. I want to prophesy to you today that your storm is over. You say, well, it's not over. It's still raining. What a perfect illustration today. Thank you for the rain, Lord. Thank you for the clouds. But the storm is over. Why is it over? Because it's passing through, and you're passing through with it. I want to prophesy to you that the sun is going to shine brighter than it ever has in your life. I want to prophesy to you today that the great grass will be greener, and your flowers will be sweeter, and your life will be more beautiful than you've ever experienced before. You say, oh, that's just hype. It's only hype to those that remember the shoulder pain and not the fun of going around in a circle on a motorcycle, pressing the buzzer, going, and he gets off and he said, can we go again? I'm like, yeah. Can we go again? I'm like, yeah. Did you ever get in those little things that go around and they spin while they go around? You haven't gotten them. Don't do it. If you're over 25, don't do it. I did it. I went down there with Lou and I said, let's do it. We're going to spin this thing. We're going to be the fastest spinner. Let's do it. So we started spinning and he's like, whoa, Papa, my belly tickles. And I said, mine doesn't tickle. I feel like I'm about to heave. How can one experience be a tickle and as another person you feel like you're about to lose it? It's all perspective, isn't it? It's all experience, isn't it? I think Louis illustrated for me a person who's locked on the promise, pregnant with his revelation of God's plan for our life. My experience was I allowed my reality to interpret my future. And all I could do was get nauseated about my tomorrow. And if you allow your present situation to define your future, you're going to live nauseous. There's probably no greater pain than to wake up nauseous, live nauseous. You can ask my wife today. She's nauseous. Allergies get her. She's like, I'm living by faith, trying to remember Cedar Point. Nausea is a horrible thing. But today's tears are turned into the lenses. I love this saying. Today's tears are turned into lenses by whereby you'll see tomorrow's promise. My tear is a lens that helps bring it into focus. And I can see far into the clear heavens, and I can behold all the kindness and the goodness and the radiance of God's face. Yeah, I'm crying. Yeah, I'm in pain. But let me tell you what those tears are. They allow me to see a star that's unseeable to the natural eye. Tears bring it in focus. I'm not going to allow what the devil's doing to me to destroy me. I'm going to allow God to turn it for good. There's good in my sorrow. I'm telling you, there's good in your pain. You say, no, there's no good in pain. I'm not saying pain is good. I'm saying in it, there is good because God's good. And good, God is good no matter what happens in our life. And allow your tears to become that lens to be able to focus on your future. You know, most of the time it's our ignorance and limited knowledge that causes us to believe that our pain's going to last forever, or that God's not good, or the obscurity and darkness is going to be our companion for the rest of our life. That's not true. It's just ignorance. Let me illustrate this to you. A boy enters a school. On the first day, the teacher gives the student a Greek book and asks him to read as many pages to the class that he can possibly read. He looks at it, hieroglyphics to him, cannot make a word of it, not on one page. Embarrassed, he sits down, hands the book back to the teacher and says, I cannot read it. At the end of the school year, upon graduation, takes the same student, hands him the same book, and says, I want you to read as many pages as you can. Because of commitment, dedication, study, perseverance, he stood up proudly and began to read page after page. What made the difference? Same person, same book, same class, same teacher. Knowledge. Knowledge changed something obscure and impossible into masterable and overcoming. What don't you know about God's promises that are making it difficult for your life? What don't you know? What knowledge piece are you missing that is keeping you embarrassed? Is keeping you sensing low self-esteem and no purpose? I got a message this morning for a young man. He said, I'm about to be 31 years of age. He said, I feel as though I've accomplished nothing in my life. I've wasted everything. And I responded back to him and I said, oh, you're wrong. You just forgot. You were born a royal. You forgot who you are in Christ. You forgot your true identity. You permitted what you haven't accomplished to identify who you are. When in reality, it doesn't matter what you accomplish, it's who you have become. And if you are born again in Christ, you are a child of the King. Are you kidding me? you haven't accomplished anything? We walk around as royalty on the earth. See, it's all about knowledge. We have to view our life through it is finished. Everybody say, it is finished, please. Say it again. It is finished. Why is that important? Because it becomes a lens. I have to walk around with it is finished. I see everything through it is finished. What does that mean? It means I have to see life done. The sculptor's block. Have you ever seen a sculptor work on a block of granite? It seems to be punishing that granite in the present with every chisel, with every stroke, with every pound of that hammer. But the granite doesn't know what the sculptor knows. Because I see in you, the granite, the finished piece. I don't see a 2-foot by 2-foot piece of granite. I see a soaring eagle. And with every chisel, with every pound, with every effort, it's coming forth in more clarity. And the granite can sit there and go, I'm done. This is over. Don't hit me again. And sometimes life just beats us, and we're ready to quit. We're ready to cash in the chips. We're ready to go back to whatever we had. But in the afterwards, you'll know what the present is all about. Hold on. Have faith in God. You know, I like what Chambach used to say. Some of you don't even know him. He said, you don't have any problems. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Amen. You see, faith in God will bring that sculptor's vision out. But it's not going to come cheaply. And if you think kingdom comes cheap, it doesn't come cheap. I wish I could promise you, no more problems, come to Jesus, and you'll live a life of wonder and beauty. But I can't. Come to Jesus, and all hell will break loose. Why are you laughing? Because I said hell in church? No, because you know it's true. But here's the good thing about that statement. It's breaking loose. And when something doesn't want to let go, it screams, it kicks, it fights, it spits, it cusses. But go ahead. Hell, give me what you got. Because death could not hold him. Come on, grave could not keep him. He went into the bowels of hell and said, Satan, give me those keys. All authority has been given unto me. So I want you to know something, hell, you can't win. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, something is coming to you that's going to change your future. Have you ever seen construction sites? They're a mess. Now, we live at Crocker Park. You know, I was getting my hair cut. I was in Florida. And it was a shopping area, and they had some brand hair cuttery, or I don't even know what it was called. I went in there and said, I need a haircut. And you do walk in? She goes, yeah, yeah. I said, how long of a wait? She goes, I can take you right now. I'm like, sweet, let's do it. So she starts cutting my hair, and she asks, where are you from? And all the small talk. And I said, well, I'm from Ohio. Where in Ohio? Cleveland. I usually say Cleveland. And she goes, oh, I know Cleveland. I said, you do? I said, yeah, I live at Crocker Park. No way. I love Crocker Park. I shop there all the time when I'm home to visit my family. I said, well, I live where you love to shop. Isn't that great? But I didn't love it about a year and a half, 2 years ago when they expanded and all the construction was taking place and big trucks were coming in and out, waking me up at 6 a.m. And you heard the pounding and the deliveries. And then, I don't know if you heard about it last year, they had this huge explosion at the American Greetings multi-million dollar world headquarter facility, which is on the end of Crocker Park. Shook our apartment. And every day when I would go on my walk, and I would on my prayer time, I'd walk and pray, and I'm looking past all of these piles of mud and water setting, and there's tools, and there's construction guys. They're all wearing these shirts, and you know, construction guys all have a look. You ever see them? They all look alike. They just do. Are you a construction guy? Anybody in here? Why do you all look alike? You just kind of conform to the whole culture of what a construction guy looks like, you know? And they're all driving trucks, and they're everywhere. But they were working on something. The construction site wasn't the final product. The architect had already drawn the finished project. And I would see these guys with blueprints laid out, and they're reading them to make sure that what they do conforms to what the architect had designed. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, well, let me just give you the blueprint. Your life may look like a construction site. You know, people say this. They've said this all the time before. You know, they'll say, be patient, God's not finished with me yet. Or wear a sign that says under construction. How many know that we're under construction of the kingdom, right? And there's a lot of mess in construction. But if there's not product deliberate, if there's not blueprints laying around, if there's not mud and there's not water and there's unfinished parking lots, if I keep consulting the blueprint and build it the way he designed it, you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. Look at somebody and say, you're going to love it. Oh, you didn't say it right. You're going to love it. Come on. Yeah, you're going to love it because it's beautiful. Why do you think when we present a brand new building, the architect builds a model? Have you ever seen models? They spend money on models, sometimes $30,000 to build a complex model. They have little trees, they have little cars, they have little people walking. It's amazing. Have you ever seen these models? They're crazy. $30,000 to show them a model. Why do they do that? Because that's the finished product, and you have to keep your eye on the prize. How many know that Jesus Christ came from heaven? He was the model. He showed us how we're living, how we're going to be. Keep your eyes on the model and keep your eyes on the blueprints. What you see now is not what you get. Come on, I'm under construction. And sometimes it's not easy, but I'm changing. I am conforming to his image. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord. I think as I close here this morning, some of us have spiritual amnesia. Do you know what that is? You just forget. Amnesia, there's times I've wished and prayed, Lord, can I have that? Have you ever been in a painful situation where you just want to go to sleep? You just go to sleep, and then you don't have to think about it. But then when you wake up, it's like, that happened to me this week. It's 4 a.m. I finally fell asleep. Then I woke up, and I thought, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going back to sleep. Oh, I'm thinking about it. It was 6:30 before I fell back to sleep. Have you ever had that experience? Spiritual amnesia, God. Can I just have some amnesia right now? Forget about this, because this isn't really that important. And Lord, I know you're in control, and all things work together for good for those who love God. It ain't working, God. This is not working. He said in the afterward, you'll know why you're going through now, what you're going through. I said, can we just get that over with and just tell me now? Let's get this settled now. I don't want to have to deal with that. I want to hurry it up, God. Do you ever want God to hurry? Hurry up, God. Hurry, hurry, hurry. I just want you to know God is not in a hurry. We might be. We got to be out by 11 or whatever time this service is over. What time is this service over? No hurry. No hurry. God's not in a hurry. Here's a story. It's mythological. It's about Helen of Troy. Have you heard it? It's a great story. She was an extremely beautiful queen. She was a young woman. She was born into royalty, loved, admired by all of her people. But one day she was kidnapped and taken away to a foreign country. They just took the queen. With all the confusion, she was stricken with amnesia. So here she is, no longer a royal, because she can't remember she was a royal. She's now in another country, doesn't know where she's from, doesn't even know her name. She ended up living on the streets, homeless, being taken advantage of. And although she had royalty in her blood and was a respected and admired queen back home, she was nothing but a peasant and a worthless woman living in rags to all those who looked at her. But there was someone back home who wouldn't forget her, was reminded every day of the beautiful queen and sent on a mission to go find her. And one day, find her he did. While he was searching on this faraway country, he looked at this pitiful woman who was sitting by this well. Her clothes were ragged, her hair was matted, her face was battered, she was bruised, she was trembling. He was about to pass by, but something said to him, "Look at her face again." He looked, he bent down, and he remembered. I knew the palm lines of the queen's hand. Could it be? "Excuse me, ma'am, can I see your hand?" She mumbled something. He said, "What is your name?" She mumbled something again. He couldn't understand her. He took her hand, and for sure, the handprint was that of Helen, his admired queen. He looked at her and he said, "Helen? Helen of Troy?" And she looked up at him and said, "That is not my name." When the woman heard him call her name, suddenly amnesia was broken. And she began to recall all of her experiences as a child of a royal and assuming the kingdom that she was awarded. Looking at herself, she thought, "What have I become? You are Helen of Troy. You are the queen. Helen, don't you remember?" Suddenly this revelation came. The fog lifted. She was rediscovered. They hugged each other. He took her back. And she was reinstated as the queen. Similar to Helen, many of us are sitting here today. And you, like the gentleman who messaged me on Facebook this morning. This happened this morning. 31 years of age, has forgotten who he is. And I have to admit, there are days I forget who I am. Because I let everything and everyone redefine me in my present. Didn't have enough money. I can't provide for my family. I'm a loser. Someone betrayed me. I guess I did wrong. I wasn't good enough. Someone rejected you. You felt like it's always going to happen. All of these situations begin to define where we are in our current life. And we think we're never going to get out from where we're living. But there is an afterward. And something is coming to you that is going to change your future. That man that never forgot Helen is Jesus Christ. And he will search and search and search by his Spirit until he finds you. And I like what Pastor Mike said yesterday. When Jesus found him, God had to roll up his sleeve to get down in the quagmire to pull him out. You know what I thought of immediately? "Oh, that's nothing. God had to go under to get me." Some of us, God had to put on scuba gear, didn't he? Because we were so low, rock bottom. But he came here to remind you of who you are and where your rightful place is in life. Amen. And I want to encourage you today, stop thinking it's over. It's not. God has a future. God has a plan. Yes. One more quick story. You know the story of Jabez? Anybody hear it? Jabez. Is it in 1 Chronicles 10? I can't remember now. I think so. Verses 9 and 10. It's 1 Chronicles 4. Anyway. Jabez has a prayer. Do you remember the prayer of Jabez? Has anybody read that book? Lord, increase my boundaries, you know. That's a weird prayer. You know why it's weird? Because he was born as an expression of his mother's pain. Jabez, however, was different. All of the other siblings expressed their mother's pain. But Jabez says, I'm not going to have it. I refuse to express mom's pain. And then he read that beautiful prayer that we've used to increase my territory. Bless me and give me all that you have. And you know what? Jabez has set the temperate for us in that if we only remember our pain from where we came from, we'll never experience the blessing of where we're going. Because you'll never get there. You will stay where you've always been. I loved Pastor Adam's illustration about the passport. When you have a passport, you can enter into a country. And when you show that passport, it has authority behind it because it's the United States of America. And no matter where you were born, you have a passport into greatness. There's not one person in here this morning that's not greatness. But you have to refuse your present in defining who you are and know that with every chisel and every hammer, that is only God using what the devil tried to use to kill you to bring your beauty out, and you're going to soar like an eagle. And if you're under construction this morning, or you came in here in pain, or you came here today thinking that all you can remember about life is how heavy Louis was on your shoulders, then you're missing the point. Because all Louis remembers is it's tickling my belly. I think we rode the motorcycle that went around and around at least 6 times. And he found that a couple of them, the buzzers didn't work. And when he got on the motorcycle, when the buzzer didn't work, he looked up at me like, it's not working. So the next time, I asked the attendant, I said, which buzzers work? He said, there's only 2 of the little motorcycles that the buzzers work. And I said, which ones? He said, the green one and the blue one, whatever it was. And I said, oh, get on the blue one! Okay, Papa. And he looked at me, it's working! God's trying to tell every one of us to get on the blue one. Get on the green one. He knows which one works. And you're going to like it. Come on, look at somebody and say, you're going to like it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. You say, I can't stand that buzzer. No, that buzzer is an expression of God's joy and God's love, right? If I wasn't so conservative, I'd ask all of you to make the buzzer noise with me right now. But I won't. They don't sound like that. They sound, they're loud. All right, let me close this sermon. Some of you are hungry and you're wanting to go. I understand. The pruning of a vine is not a not a pleasurable experience to the vine. We don't think anything of it. We just hack away, knowing it has to be done. But the vine's sitting there going, what is up with that? But the husbandman, the vine dresser, knows that if you don't cut it back, you won't have fruit. Here's a little poem I found. Now the pruning, sharp and unsparing, scattered blossom, bleeding shoot. Afterward, there's that word, the plenteous bearing of the master's precious and pleasant fruit. God, I want to be fruitful for you. I had a scary moment yesterday. I left here and I went to Lorraine for the picnic. And some lady went, oh, you're Pastor Cayetan. My neighbor remembers you. And I went, oh, really? Yeah. Her name is so-and-so, and I don't want to say her name. And I'm thinking, I don't remember that name. And I went, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm like, what did she say to you? Because that was a time in my life was before Jesus. She just said, you were at her sister's wedding. I'm like, did she say anything else? I was sweating bullets. But that lady may remember me when I attended that wedding of her sister. But she doesn't know me now. And I've changed. I've got new life. I've got the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm being conformed in the image of Christ. I've got a new life in Jesus. And so don't let others or even your own memories keep you back at her sister's wedding, because that's not who you are anymore. You are a brand new person in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good to know? I was driving over here this morning. I'm like, God, your mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for new mercy. You know why it's new? Because you need it. He wouldn't give us new mercy every morning if he didn't think we needed it. He said, well, I don't need it. Oh, yes, you do. You probably need it more than we do. And his faithfulness throughout the night. We just have to really focus on what God's saying. So let me just pray. Would you pray with me right now? I want to encourage you guys, man. I really do. I want to encourage you that something is coming to you that will change your future, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good because God is good. The architect has the plans. He's sent a model. That's what you're going to look like. That's what the end project is going to resemble. Thank you, Father. And so right now, we're just asking, if you're here today and you say, hey, preacher, I feel like Jabez. I was born in pain. I was born in rejection. I was born in hurt. But you know what? You don't have to live there. You can make a declaration out of your mouth right now. Father, thank you for the precious blood of Christ. It's cleansed me of all my sin. You've made me to be a new creature. I expect, oh God, good things in my life. Maybe you came here this morning with spiritual amnesia. Maybe you're like Helen of Troy, who doesn't even know your name anymore. You've gotten to such a point in your life where you're ragged, rugged. You resemble more failure than you do anything else. But the Holy Spirit, like that servant of Helen of Troy, who found her, will find you. And he knows you because he has his name written on the palm of his hand. Let Jesus take you by the hand and say, you're going to come with me. You're coming back to your rightful place. If you're here this morning and you don't know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven or hell, and you want the love of God in your life, nobody looking around right now, just give me a minute. All you got to do is acknowledge that need. Just with a quick upraised hand, you can put it right back down. Anybody here, just upraise hand, say, yeah, I need that love of God in my life, and then you can put it right back down. Secondly, is there anybody here today that says, you know what, I need prayer. I need prayer because sometimes I've allowed my current situation to define who I am, and I've lost sight of my true identity. Would you pray for me? And we're going to do just that in just a minute. Look up at me for a minute, would you? I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come to the right and the left, those that would come to pray with you. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. What are you singing, Randy? What is that?
What?
What are you singing?
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone. Go ahead and sing it, man. Can you put that up on the screens as well? Come on, everybody stand up. Can I have some prayer partners up here this morning?
Cornerstone.
Say, I need prayer. I need encouragement. I need somebody to help me get through the day. And if that's you, before you go that way,